The party's just begun.
Sonic Boom!
Sit, would you kindly? Where's everyone going? Bingo? Kept you waiting, huh?
Follow your lead,
you're gonna have to do some editing because I think I called that lady a whore.
that's the one we're gonna actually have to open the episode.
Okay, right, that's the opening.
That's how we're gonna do it. Not YouTube ad friendly for sure. So this is the debut episode. Welcome everybody. Hello to the NPC podcast, where noobs, wannabe pros, and occasional completionists gather to discuss the latest in the world of gaming. There are a lot of gaming podcasts out there. There's a lot of NPC podcasts out there, but none of them are part of the Horrible People's Network. So, you know what? Fuck them. I think we're okay. So, you know.
This one has, 10 times more typos than the normal? Or what are we doing here? Yeah?
Again, they failed. Who knows what caused it? But I think typos may be a factor somewhere. So, of course, I am your host, Anthony Fuentes. With me is James Brizuela, frequent guest on the show. The other show, not this one. And Alex Cordova. So, hey, how you guys doing?
Somewhat frequent guests.
You're an annual guest.
Video game only guest, put that way.
I'm doing one now.
So this is the first show. It's, we took a long time to figure this name out, but we got it, I think. And we're ready to talk about gaming in, of course, the last month, February 2023. This will be bi-weekly. We're aiming for it. But this will be released in the first week of March, so... You guys ready to roll? Talk about some games?
I got a question, though. Is this part of your birthday? Is this your birthday wish? This is what you wish for your birthday?
Oh, no.
Gaming podcast or no?
Shit, I probably could have asked for that. Like when you're an adult, you have birthdays, you just do it yourself. You just do it yourself.
Just go do it. Yep. Yeah. All right.
Well, that's how it works. Okay, actually, I'm going to take myself off. There we go. Fuck it. You see, my photo's just right there. Okay.
That punchable face is just there.
I know. See, there's no way you can avoid it. So this is audio only. The listeners won't get to hear this. But we're going to go ahead and kick off with some news. Some of the biggest news, I think, for the past month here. Now, I want to start this off with, I think, my favorite news. So it's special every time it happens. But we had a whole month of fucking Nintendo Directs. So Nintendo launched not one, but two Directs within the past 30 days. One focused around their Switch software, and the other very disappointing one around Pokemon. That one kind of blew. So for the former, we got the NSO expansion editions. That's the Game Boy and the Game Boy Advance. We got fucking Metroid Prime Remastered as well. New details on Mario Kart Deluxe, the booster courses, of course, which we've been tearing through lately. And of course, some Tears of the Kingdom footage and, oh, yeah, just a bunch more. Again, Pokemon. Also, we got one that dropped while we're recording. Cordova, would you like to tell us what's coming to the GBA?
I don't know when you're dropping this, but March 9th, Metroid Fusion is dropping. So, you know what? You got to just give them the tip of the hat. I mean, good for you, Nintendo.
Yeah. Like, we're renting some pretty good games, I'd say. Yeah, we're renting some pretty good games on our family plan right there.
Yeah. Don't get me started on that, but I'll save it for later. Don't worry.
Yeah, no, I think this Nintendo's one of those weird companies where, like, it's a drought for, like, half the year, but 3/4 of the year. It's a long drought usually, but when they hit you pretty good. I think they started off this year pretty goddamn good. To me, I think Shadow Dropping Metroid Prime Remastered, I've seen so many fucking like reaction videos from that shit and people just losing their minds. Are you having any trouble picking up that physical?
I mean, I'll save it more for the end, but I would probably get a digital just because of how much of a headache this physical release is. But I was thinking about it, and I think it's because everyone's thinking it's that whole trilogy.
Yeah.
You know,
that, like the Mario anniversary shit.
Yeah. Well, that and the Wii Metroid trilogy that got dropped and, you know, but that one, what was that? $60, you get three Prime games and a whole bunch of extras, like an art book, a steel book, all that stuff.
That steel book looked badass.
Yeah, but this isn't that.
I know. Hey, but you know what? The graphics are pretty goddamn good. I'm actually going to get a little more into that one when we get past the news here. But again, I would say the directs themselves pretty solid. But of course, they were not the only ones with, a whole streaming showcase, I would say. So, Cordova, would you like to tell us a little more about that one?
Well, I mean, the PlayStation State of Play, right? That one dropped, I believe, a week after the Nintendo one. Mm-hmm. And their big emphasis was PSVR 2 announcements, the games, all that stuff incoming. Because I believe the VR 2 launched that same week as well, which snooze fest, I guess. Unless you have 500, 600 extra bucks laying around.
Not a lot of fanfare. I will tell you that right now, unfortunately. Yeah. As much as I love Resident Evil Village. Yeah. Like, you know, it's a little tough sometimes.
So they announced, like, you know, I mean, I think what, the first 15 minutes of it was nothing but VR games that they just showed trailers for, like, one called Synapse and the Foglands, which were two of the better looking ones, I guess.
It was their only on Game Pass moment. It was definitely their only on Game Pass moment from E3 last year. That's for sure.
I mean, it's also still just VR. Like, they keep trying to push VR and everybody, and it's like, you know, no. Can we stop? You know, it's just not there yet.
No, so, I'm with you. Yeah, because it's not cheap enough. It's not adoptable enough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, not to get sidetracked here, but the Meta Quest 2, right? When I bought that on sale, that's like my jump into the deep end with VR. And I will say that there are games that, like, that sell it, right? Resident Evil 4, the Star Wars games, I just thought was amazing. The first time when Darth Vader walked up to me in VR and I'm looking up at him and he's like literally in my face was cool. But that Synapse game, it looks like, I don't know if you've ever seen videos of Superhot in VR.
Oh, no.
But that is another VR game that I'm just like, you know what? Like, when I show people the quest, like when I go to my families and all that, I let them play Superhot, because that game is like basically like a pixelated John Wick where you can like kill someone and the gun is flying through the air and you grab it, you know, in virtual reality and keep shooting. So that is like the only game, though, besides, you know, an established license like Resident Evil or Star Wars, that I was like, man, this VR stuff is pretty actually cool. But that's like a, you know, a diamond in the rough in my eyes.
Yeah, so. There's a lot of gimmick stuff from what I played, unfortunately. I don't know. I'm not a flailer anymore. I'm past the Wii days. So it's really hard for me to kind of like fall in. Again, it feels like a luxury item. But I mean, I've been kind of rooting for Sony to do something with it, though, because like I feel like maybe not a lot of these companies have the software to back it up. Like they just don't usually. If there's one that can do it, it's definitely Sony. So I mean, we'll see how it goes. It's still near its early stages, but you know.
So and also after those VR announcement, that was kind of like the snooze fest when we were all watching it in our respective, probably, you know, our work and just probably hiding out in the bathrooms and whatnot. But it kicked into overdrive when Capcom took over, because Capcom dropped some fire with Street Fighter VI. I know we're not all big fighting game people, but that game just looks like it's evolving the whole multiplayer function of it, making like, you know, like a world tour, like a real life type of thing.
And it has those two guys that are DLC in Smash Brothers, right?
God damn it.
That's where they come from.
That's funny because, I mean, that's totally like a, hey, that guy's from Fortnite moment. And my kids always say, and I just want to dropkick them when they say Indiana Jones is from Fortnite, you know?
But I digress. You're a fucking cop over there, man. You get all that shit. No. Oh, that's heartbreaking.
And then, you know, they announced or they showed trailers for Destiny 2 Lightfall. But the big one, exactly, right? But the big one was like pretty much the final trailer for Resident Evil 4, the remake, which is dropping in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, that March. One that showed, dude, spoiler fest trailer for sure, but like I'm about it.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, in not to get off topic again, but Nate's been playing Resident Evil 2 remake, right? Because he saw the trailer for Resident Evil 4 and he's like, man, that looks crazy. He's like, can I play 2? And I'm like, yeah, you can play 2. What the hell? And
like, you want to see fucking crazy kid, Jesus.
Yeah, I was like, you gotta play two before you play four at least. Mm-hmm. So and then also two, you know, they ended it with Suicide Squad, which is supposed to be the what's the word here, the creme de la croix or whatever, you know, like the icing on the cake, and it totally just crash and burn, you know.
No, I've looked at the comments afterwards, dude. That went with a fucking whimper at the end, unfortunately. Yeah. Like, that's heartbreaking.
And this is the crazy thing too, that to me, that and the VR was the negatives, right? But mm-hmm. the Suicide Squad is made by Rocksteady, which made three of the best video game. I mean, I'm sorry, the three of the best comic book video games ever in Batman Arkham, right? The series. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And everyone was expecting so much more than what they showed us.
I was actually telling my buddy, I was talking to my buddy about it, and he's a big DC fan, and mm-hmm. he was like, oh, but isn't it the same people that made Gotham Knights? And I was like, no. I was like, the guys that made Gotham Knights, which is Warner Brothers, and mm-hmm. I forgot the other developer. What was the other developer? Can you pull that up, Jamie? I forgot. They're the ones that made the offshoot, Batman Arkham Origins, which wasn't great, and they were just trying to copy the formula of Batman Arkham. Mm-hmm. But Rocksteady is the one that made Batman Arkham, like the original one, the sequel, and then Arkham City, Arkham Knight, which amazing. Are fantastic.
Amazing fucking game.
So I was excited, and, you know, I was like, oh, I can't wait to do this. But the fact that they're turning it into live service and that you have to have an internet connection to even play single player is
so it hurts my heart.
And the thing that I'm like really upset about that is that if they make it online only DMR, as they call it, you know, mm-hmm. what is DRM. It? DRM, I'm sorry. And
DMR is Halo, sir.
That is a gun. When they do that, though, that's literally a full definition of you don't own that game. They own mm-hmm. it. You're paying them to play that game, which is like total BS when it comes to, hey, here's a single player mode. But you know what? In 5 years when this game crashes and burns, or 2 years when this game crashes and burns, mm-hmm. We're just going to take it offline and you can't play it anymore. That's just horrible.
It's the exact same story that happened to fucking BioWare with Anthem. Like, it's the same shit.
I mean, they're probably wary about that, because like, look what happened with Marvel's Avengers and Crystal Dynamics. Like, that game crashed and burned, and they're shutting it down now finally because it just didn't work. And now it's like, I get why they're doing it, because it's like they got to cover their own bases, because like, if it comes out, it sucks. Like, they can pull the plug without having to dump even more development money into it. But then it sucks for players, because it's like, you know, what if people like it? You know, what are they going to do?
Yeah, and it's like, what if not enough people like it, but there's still a sizable base, but it's just not profitable? So like, fuck off. Like, that's essentially the catch-22 of these kind of games. And again, BioWare was like the same situation. Three solid Mass Effect, like, fan favorite. Everybody loved these games. And they put them on this live service thing, and we lost, like, one of the best developers because of that. It's horrifying.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, sometimes these live service games work out. Like, I mean, take Call of Duty, which we'll bring up a little bit later, but like, their battle pass is kind of legit. You know, it gives you extra, like, you know, guns and, you know, operators and things of that nature. But then, like, when you start throwing a battle pass into every single game, and like, you have to pay $10 like every month and a half or whatever it is, like, you're just throwing money at them, and it's ridiculous.
And they gotta make it worth it. Yeah, you gotta be able to lord over the peasants. Like, you really gotta feel it.
I was gonna say, like James said, that works for certain games, you know, Fortnite, Destiny, mm-hmm. Rainbow Six, those games, right? My comic book games, I don't can you imagine a Spider-Man launched with the battle?
I would have hated it.
To get all the suits, you know? Yeah, like, no, we don't want that.
I think almost throw up in my mouth saying that right there, dude.
Not only did they release more suits, they're still releasing more suits, and they've been given to us for free. Like, that's how good that game was. And like, it is very just really disappointing, because I understand that like there's four different people that you can play in the game, but like, you know, they should have given a single player the option to do that without having to turn it into, like, you know, a live service multiplayer thing. Like,
it's basically Avengers and Destiny and like those loot and
Yeah.
shoots, right? I mean, no one wanted a Suicide Squad game from Rocksteady and said, you know what? I want a loot and shoot, and I want all that. Like, no one said that. Like, we wanted Arkham Knight combat.
Yep.
Like,
and a good story.
Yeah.
And just give us the single player good story, and like, just that's it. Just you don't have to keep throwing all this extra shit at it, like, you know, a battle royale mode, and try to, you know, emulate all these other successful games that are in that niche. Like, you don't need to do that. Just give us, like, look how successful the Arkham games were. Like, give us that, but just Suicide Squad, and it would go gangbusters. People would buy it up.
Yeah, but they can't milk people to say they get the enthusiasm, and then they're like, okay, cool, now we got them, like, they good faith, let's just milk them. We can milk a lot of them, like that's,
I have,
you know,
uncles, Greg, could you milk me?
and then one last little note before we move on from the state of play is the fact that the remake, the Resident Evil 4 remake, is, it looks like it's giving us an honest to God mercenary mode, which after Village dropped the ball on, I am so glad they're bringing back the OG, you know, race against the clock stuff. That's like pure action, not that Village stuff.
I mean, they didn't give us a multiplayer mercenaries. They just gave us like bland ass mercenaries, which sucks because like those characters are so fun. Like, you know, to play as freaking Lady D and, you know, to be able to play as them, but I want to play next to people like we used to do with, you know.
Resident Evil 5 is the best mercenaries.
Yeah. I was going to say, hot take right there. Resident Evil 5 had the best mercenaries mode just because of the fact you can co-op it.
Hold on.
Out of the main series, not the Revelations.
Okay.
Those were good.
Very good disclaimer there, James, because you're right. Revelations raid mode was also something else.
Was amazing.
That was... Yeah. Ooh.
And we spent so many hours playing that.
Seriously. And the thing is, like, dude, Resident Evil can nail the co-op experience so well. So, I'm glad they're pushing that direction. It's nice seeing your friend, like, on the other side, either getting rocked or saving your ass. Like, it's really, there's something special there. Like, the communication's really good. So, Sony straight to play. I mean, I would say mostly positive, but there are definitely mixed bag aspects to it. It's like, it was spread throughout, I would say. Like, Nintendo started off kind of shitty and then got really good. That's kind of the flow, but like both of them not pretty good directs, I would say, overall. And then of course a game me and James have been rocking this whole past couple weeks here dropped this month as well. James, you want to tell us a little bit about this one?
Yeah, actually I've been stuck on it since it came out. But yeah, it's Hogwarts Legacy. Many people might not know this about me, but I'm actually kind of a big Harry Potter fan.
We've been to midnight showings together.
Yeah, you can look at someone like Fred and be like, yeah, that dude definitely loves Harry Potter.
But I think I am Harry Potter when they see me.
Yeah,
like, they're like, dude, where's his fucking scar? Where's his scar?
Anyway,
before you get into that too, James was defending that game very vigorously against some of our other friends, calling them mudbloods and
It's just okay. So
yeah, he got into it.
Oh, that's good.
I'll get more into
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Why.
I'll hear more about that.
I'll get more into why I've been defending it. But so naturally, anytime anybody mentions Harry Potter these days, there's going to be a controversy brought up behind it, and that has everything to do with J.K. Rowling and her ridiculous opinions about trans people. And you know, that's just what's going on. It released, but a lot of activists were actively boycotting it, and were even starting boycotts with streamers that were playing the game online.
Dude, they were doxing them. It's fucking horrifying.
It was insane. But despite all that, despite all the controversy, once again, you throw anything Harry Potter at a wall and people will run into it.
Oh, yeah.
So far, in its first 2 weeks of sales, just 2 weeks, 12 million copies were sold at a staggering $850 million in fucking 2 weeks. That is insane numbers. Insane.
It's not going to go on EA Play. They're not going to do it. That's too much of a moneymaker.
But interestingly enough, even though these astronomical numbers have come out finally, there's no DLC planned right now.
I know, dude, that's heartbreaking.
The director of the game said that they were so busy getting the game out that they're not even thinking about DLC, which is fine because it did get delayed like three different times. Now, I am thankful for that because this game to me is nearly perfect.
Very complete game.
I will say the only thing, sorry for these spoilers, for those who haven't played it yet, it's not really a story spoiler, but it's more of a Harry Potter overall spoiler. There's no Quidditch, and that kind of sucks.
Yeah, because the flying's good. The flying's really good. You can do
something. But I mean,
that.
I understand that they would probably add that later on, and I also understand, like, with how good it looks and how good it operates on PS5, which is what I'm playing it on, and I'm sure on, you know, PC and the new Xbox. You know, it took some time for them to put it all, everything together, because there's a lot of moving parts in this game. There's so much going on. So I get it, but I also am kind of disappointed because I'm like, I would have liked to been able to, like, fly around and, you know, dunk on some people.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to make a Quidditch multiplayer. I want to see how that shitstorm goes. Like, that'd be really good.
They could have won all Final Fantasy X Blitzball action, man, with the whole, arena, and that would have been cool.
I mean, the weird thing is they have the Quidditch area already there, and you fly a broom.
It's so accurate. It's so accurate. It's stupid.
It's there, but they just didn't. Like I said, it's probably because they just ran out of time to actually put Quidditch in there. But again, you know, if you're listening, Mr. Director, which I doubt you are, but if you're listening, you know, go ahead and give us that DLC Quidditch. Let's go.
Yeah, dude, let's fucking see it. Mista.
that's James right now asking for that Quidditch.
This thing opened me.
But, like, okay, so before we move on, so when it comes to the controversy stuff, I think this solidifies, like, an opinion I have about Harry Potter, is that it's past Rowling. Like, Rowling, yeah, she did a lot of the creative work, but also there was a lot of directors and a lot of other people made Potter what it was. And I think, like, that's why the Fantastic Beasts shit kind of failed. Like, it's not really, like, doesn't have the same mass appeal or whatever it is. Like, and that's her baby. Like, the whole franchise itself transcends her, and thus a lot of, like, anything she has to say, really, because at the end of the day, most people don't care. Like, they're not bothered. Well, she's not getting that big a paycheck either. Like, it's right, started billionaire.
Harry Potter is so much more to everybody around the world, and it, like, transcends what her stupid fucking opinions are. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
So, but, you know, Fantastic Beasts failed because that guy's just not likable.
No. It's like too doofusy. I don't know what it is. Like,
He's not Daniel Radcliffe, and not that if they did another, which apparently they are doing more Harry Potters and a potential reboot with new kids, but whatever.
I don't know, dude. Warner Brothers, get stop, dude. You got to stop, Warner Brothers. Just let it. Let us live in our hearts for another decade, please.
They aren't going to stop because they got the rights to Lord of the Rings as well. So they're going to go full ham right now. Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings crossover. Do we want to see it?
But just real quick to stoke the flame of why this game is so good. I would say I'm probably around 25 hours in, and I haven't even completed, like, half of the game. Mm-hmm. So that's just a little idea of, like, how much, like, they put into this game. Basically, the comparison that I made, which we brought up earlier in the episode, was basically, if you're a Harry Potter fan, this game is the equivalent of being a Batman fan and playing Batman Arkham. It's the exact same thing. Like, the wand play, the lore, like, everything about it, it's perfect for Harry Potter fans. So
and that soundtrack.
Just because you buy the game doesn't mean that you support J.K. Rowling and her stupid opinions. That's all I gotta say.
I'm with it. Yeah, because every time that soundtrack hits, I'm just like, oh, I don't want to turn it off. I don't want to turn it off. we got one more news drop too before we get to potential rumors for potential things coming up. Some leaks, some just speculation. But what's the one more big drop that we got early or recently?
I believe didn't it barely drop like a couple days ago too? Elden Ring, the game of 2022 for 95% of people, including critics and all that. Elden Ring is getting DLC finally. Yeah. they announced it with only, the title and one single image, right, Flynn?
Yeah, that's it.
It's called Shadow of the Erdtree, which is, like, pretty much the big tree that has been all over their promo materials.
They didn't program a shadow before? What the fuck is going on?
No release date or footage was given, but that's kind of how From Software rolls. You know, they just say we're announcing DLC, and then like they'll be quiet about it for a couple months, and then boom, they'll just drop it, pretty much a trailer for you and all that all at once. But their history of DLC isn't bad. Bloodborne's
no,
DLC
definitely
was great.
Not.
Dark Souls 3 yeah. DLC was great.
I was about to say Dark Souls 3. Dark Souls 3 DLC was hot shit.
I don't think Sekiro ever got DLC, but you know, Bloodborne and Dark Souls 3.
That's why.
I just gave James PTSD.
Which is funny. Like,
I hate that game. I hate that game so much.
But isn't it funny though that Activision is the one who published that one, and that's the only From Software game without DLC? Well, besides Demon's Souls 2.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's crazy. Like, if there's gonna be one From Software game that was gonna have DLC and like totally you know, monetize up the ass, it's Sekiro, but they didn't do it. Probably because
they might, you know, even though it's been a while, they still might. If you're like me and you don't like to cry, you won't play that game.
I think Activision saw the completion rates and they're like, nobody's gonna buy this, nobody's seen the end of this fucking game.
Yeah, I was gonna say that was probably they were probably
that's
like,
yeah, right. They were like, all right, well, we've had like a 15% completion rate, so maybe we can wait another 2 years before everybody catches up.
Can you make the DLC like a side quest that's easier? FromSoft's like, fuck off. We're gonna go make a different game.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm surprised they didn't release an easy mode as DLC for that. But
I wish they fucking would, man. Dude, those games are like, I can't do it. I just can't.
Your voice. I hear it right now, dude.
The only stupidly hard game that I've ever completed, and I'm happy for, is Cuphead. That's it.
That's
the only one that I'm gonna do because those games are so hard. They don't make me enjoy gaming. They just make me mad.
That's how I feel about Cuphead. That's how I feel about Cuphead myself.
Yeah, Cuphead is just straight bullshit. But
oh my god,
that's a conversation for another time.
I'll never forget when James was talking to us about Sekiro. He's like, "Man, fuck this game." And we're like, "Why? It's just a normal, you know, it's a Souls." He's like, "No, you keep dying and people around you get sick and you can't even do a fucking quest because they're just coughing at you like, oh,
yep.
Dragon Rot," and you're like, "Okay, where the fuck do I go?" And they're like, "Oh, Dragon Rot."
Yeah,
and he was like, "Man, fuck this game."
Yep, and like there's mini bosses that are even harder than the actual bosses, and they're everywhere. It's such a stupid fucking game, and I hate it.
Oh my god, I love it. This is just such a part of your soul right now. This is amazing.
But
I hate it.
But you never did Elden Ring, right? Just because of your experience with Sekiro?
Oh no, I was like, I'm not buying that. Even though everybody was like, dude, it's so good. You'll love the story, you'll love the game. I'm like, I'm sure that I probably would, but I'm not gonna buy it.
it's a million times easier, but also like it's like Skyrim big, dude. It's big.
Yeah, but you know
it's big.
I just can't. I can't put myself through it just because I know that From Software made it, so it's eventually going to get stupid hard. And I just don't. I don't. I want to enjoy myself. You know, I only have a few hours a day to game currently, so you know, I don't want to be mad at myself for gaming.
You want to make some progress in the game.
Yeah,
you want to make some progress.
Yeah, exactly.
A sense of accomplishment.
If I die 40 times and I make it the whole village sick, dude, that doesn't make me feel good.
All right. But for those of us that are, for those of you know, you that enjoy those type of games, you know, it's getting DLC sometime later, maybe this year or next year.
Congratulations.
it's getting bigger. Wow, that's insane to me. Okay, so now it's time for our good old leaky rumor mill. So
Leaky beak rumor mill?
Let's get excited. Got a lot of energy there going on. There's one big one that just dropped this week also that really took me by surprise. But so there was this, like I told you, that really shitty Pokemon Direct that happened. Now, there was a million leaks about like, and they were all fake. They were mostly 98% fake, just people speculating on what they would announce in the Pokemon thing. There was one legit leak that came from 4chan, actually. I think it came a couple weeks ago. So it called everything that happened in this Pokemon Direct. Everybody thought it was bullshit. Turned out to be true, but there was a little blurb on the last part of that leak, and it was that there would be a major graphical patch for Scarlet and Violet, but it would only be compatible with a new Nintendo Switch that had more powerful hardware, and it's due this fall. So are we getting a Switch 2? Are we getting a Switch Pro?
Probably.
I think it's a Switch Pro. I think it's a Switch Pro. But I mean, on the bullshit meter, what do you think this one weighs? I think for me, it's looking pretty accurate. Like, it's looking, if they were that spot on, like literally to the name with everything in the announcement, it could be a troll. Like, they just did it to throw some red meat at us. But like, honestly, I don't know, man. It seems like it's about fucking time for a pro.
I would say it's probably true for the simple fact that Breath of the Wild 2 is coming out. Mm-hmm. And they're going to want a console release game as well to go along with it, even though Breath of the Wild 2 is coming out before that. Still, like, it could be a selling point to be like, hey, this is how much better this game plays on the Pro. So I would say it's probably true. A Switch 2, definitely not, but a Switch Pro, probably.
It might do the Apple thing where it's like, okay, cool, this is the Switch S. Like, it's just going to be a every 3 or 4 year cycle, I would say, to get people to kind of keep upgrading, essentially.
Yeah, and Nintendo's, they've, like, you know, they've tested the waters with this a bit with the old DSs.
Oh, yeah.
Because remember they would give a little upgrade from a DS to a DSi, or, mm-hmm. you know, so, I mean, it wasn't huge, right? But maybe they were just testing that, and then they saw that, oh man, these things are still selling. Like, okay, well, we can invest this money now, and everyone's going to go crazy about it. Which, if there's two games that people will go crazy about, it's a upgraded Pokemon game and an upgraded Breath of the Wild.
Too. Oh, yeah.
So, which is kind of what they did with the Wii U as well, right? I mean,
yeah, Breath of the Wild
launched on the Wii U, and then it also launched on the Switch, but everyone bought it on the Switch just because it was better.
See, but Tears of the Kingdom comes out in May. So, yeah. However, I think that if they are going to do this strategy, my speculation, Metroid Prime 4, they're warming us up with the remaster, which such good reviews.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. Look at what they're doing with most PS4 games. They're now giving us the current gen versions of those games. So they could still release Breath of the Wild 2 in May and then go, hey, here's Breath of the Wild, like, HD or whatever.
Oh, I think that's definitely going to be the case.
It's just going to run better on this proposed Switch Pro or whatever.
More effects, 60 FPS, all the good shit.
Yeah, all the bells and whistles.
All the bells and whistles.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, like I told you too, when I got that Pokemon game, there was like maybe 10 little Pokemon on screen, and that shit dropped to like 10 frames per second. Dude. And I was like, oof.
All I saw was videos when it came out. All I saw was videos when it came out of how bad it performed.
And that's
what everybody's current worry right now with Breath of the Wild 2 is that it's going to be too graphically strong for the Switch to handle. So they're going to probably need to release something, at least like, you know, an update for the current Switch that's going to help, you know, mm-hmm. mitigate those issues. And then also like the Switch Pro, which, you know, will kind of suck because I just got my Switch, but, you know, whatever.
Honestly, I think you're right, because looking at Tears of the Kingdom, man, that shit, like, that looks like a big step above Breath of the Wild just in terms of the complexity of, like, the architecture, like, what kind of physics they're doing. Like, they're pushing the horsepower on that shit a lot. I know they've been working on it for, like, 6 years, but maybe a little extra hardware. I think that's a good indicator just on what they're trying to do with these games. You know, do a real, like, top-of-the-line Zelda and just try to make Pokemon run. Like, that's, you know, give Game Freak a little more juice.
Yeah.
Because,
mm-hmm. I mean, between Legends and Scarlet and Violet, man, I'm like, man, like, everyone wanted next-gen Pokemon games. This is what we got, where, you know, just bland-ass environments. And
didn't the same thing happen with Arceus?
Arceus,
it took a year before to run good. It took a year before it ran like a good GameCube game. And right, that's what it is. Yeah. Great game.
And I mean, like, you know, despite, you know, Nintendo still being a top performing console, like, you know, the ones that are hurting are hardcore gamers. Like, there's nothing, nobody's going to go play a game that we can get on PS5 and Xbox to get it on the Switch. Like, Hogwarts is supposed to come out on the Switch, and I don't see how it's going to perform well at all. Because it's a very, like, there's so much going on mechanically and graphically in that game that, like, I just think it's going to be pretty shitty on the Switch.
Honestly, I'm with you, because I would have wanted it on the Switch, because I personally don't mind the what do you call it, the ports they do. Like, yeah, whatever. I usually can handle it. But with Hogwarts, there's no way. There's honestly, that game is just, it's just too good to be on the Switch. Like, right. It really
but
is.
But then there you go. That could be another selling point of a Switch Pro, like Hogwarts Legacy comes out, because it's not coming out until later this year.
Oh. Yeah, that's true.
So that could be even a launch game right there. Like, here's the Switch Pro with the Hogwarts Legacy, and then boom, like, kids will eat that up. Parents are going to be fucking racing the stores to get those consoles.
Yep, it's going to have the PS4 specs, baby.
I know what you're fucking doing, Nintendo. I know what you're doing, Nintendo, and I don't like it.
Yeah, so, I mean, talking about all that Switch upgrades and Switch Pros, I mean, they also just announced that, I think it was Activision, or is it Microsoft, one of them, said that they're going to be bringing Call of Duty to the Switch, right? So you really think this OG 2017 Switch can run Modern Warfare 2? I don't think so.
No.
I don't think it can run Modern Warfare 2, the OG one. Like, I don't think it can do that either.
Barely, probably. But
they need some spec upgrades, because there's just no way.
No. That's true. But we do have more to say about Call of Duty, actually, in our leaky rumor mill, James.
Speaking of Activision and the Call of Dukes, they had a major data breach back in December of 2022. Now we're seeing the results of that data breach. In addition to sensitive employee information shooting out there, way to go, Activision.
Mm-hmm.
We now know of two different Call of Duty games that are in active development, which are codenamed Jupiter and Cerberus. So
cool. They're so cool.
Activision is now going against its promise that it would stop doing yearly releases. Apparently, they forgot all about that, and now we're going right back to yearly releases. So, once again, thank you, Activision. The entire season pass schedule was detailed, and apparently this year's installment was actually supposed to be a premium DLC, but has now been promoted to a full release. Details are scarce, but it is confirmed to be connected to the current Modern Warfare series and will feature plenty of remastered maps, new operators, and all the like. So, yeah, I've already kind of given my opinion, but, you know, it was nice that Call of Duty wasn't releasing a yearly thing, and they took their time with Modern Warfare 2, because I like it. I think it reminds me of the original Modern Warfare 2. It's pretty fun. Like, I was praising the Battle Pass. The Battle Pass is great.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, now I guess they're just tossing that idea in the garbage, and they're going to start releasing bullshit every year again. So there you go.
I played the Battle Pass for season one, and then, like, you know, it gives you a little countdown for when the next Battle Pass comes out, right? And I'm like, God damn, is this thing only like 2 months long? That's their seasons is like 2 months?
Yeah.
Man, that's just like, if you want to fully do the Battle Pass, you can only play Call of Duty then. Like, you can play no other games, apparently, because...
Yeah, I played quite a bit, not a lot, but I was able to get to, like, the very last one, and that was me grinding, like, for, like, a solid 3 weeks at the end, like, playing every day to try to complete it. Oof. But, like, you know, as I said earlier, I only have a few hours a day to game, so, like... You know, it kind of sucks that, you know, they're only 2 months long now. But I mean, that's kind of like the way that everybody's going.
They're definitely milking this shit. To me, the biggest offender is the DLC thing, because Assassin's Creed did that also with the it's doing it with Mirage, which I hope is good. But Mirage was really supposed to be a DLC also. And they're like, oh, you know, we can actually get a lot more money out of people if we just pretend like this is the thing we want to do the whole time. Like, that's essentially the strategy right there.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll get your money, sometimes not. Call of Duty, I know, has a lot of whales. Like, there's a lot of people that are just straight up, like, will just play Call of Duty. And, like, yeah, that's their game.
There's so many of those people.
Dude.
Yes.
There's too many.
I was going to say, it's okay, though, people. There are other games out there, good games, besides Call of Duty.
Like, I remember it was like a week after it was released, and there was people that were already level 250. And not that it takes forever for you to level up in the game, but, like, I'm like, damn, dude, you have to play like at least like 15 to 20 hours a day to get that level in a week. That's insane.
Dude, yeah. And in non-COVID times too, holy shit. Right. Like, come on. That's a commitment right there, dude. I don't know.
But I mean, then again, I guess that's like the emergence of, you know, streamers that are probably the ones doing that. So whatever.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you're right. Streaming culture definitely has a lot to do with it as well. And everybody's trying to be a streamer. And at the same time, too, people like streamers and like, well, maybe I'll get on their map and maybe I'll do this. And it's a cyclical way of just Activision's got us. They just got us. I'm sorry. Yeah. We're fucking got. Like, we're just fucking got.
I mean, cool. I stopped playing Call of Duty for years, but like as soon as they announced Modern Warfare 2, I was like, all right, they're gonna get me with that one. And they did. So
yeah, and like I don't really do the annual release one. Like, I'll do them like the Modern Warfare in 2019? I did that one.
Yeah.
And then I did the Modern Warfare 2, but like, you know, fucking World War 2 or Vanguard, or like, I don't.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy every Call of Duty every year just because, even though they reskin it and just do different time zone or time periods, you know, it's kind of like they are Assassin's Creed nowadays.
You're it's not, like, wow. You're not ready for the reboot of Assassin's Creed Ghosts, huh? Is that going to go for you? No? Remember that gem?
You know what's funny is that my son asked me, too. He's like, why are these games still so expensive? Because he wanted to buy, like, Black Ops 3 or something. That shit's still $50. And when it goes on, quote-unquote, sale, it drops down to 30. And I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm not paying for that.
Jesus, do they think they're Nintendo?
What the fuck? Yeah, I would say Activision is basically the Nintendo of sales. It's like, oh, a sale, $10 off a fucking 9-year-old game.
Oh, congratulations. My God. Again, as a Nintendo fan, it still hurts my heart every time. I'm like, come on, more people need to play this fucking game. I'd love to play Return to Dreamland. I ain't paying more than $20 for that shit. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Ay.
But speaking of Assassin's Creed, right? You want to talk about this...
That's a series that got that has me god. I'll tell you that. Yeah. Fucking asshole. Every time they get me, every time. Just let us know.
So speaking of leaks and rumor mills, Assassin's Creed apparently has a 10-year plan now. Mirage, set to release later this year, isn't even out, but apparently Ubisoft is going all out with the Assassin's Creed franchise for the 2020s, and 4 new games have been supposedly leaked.
Oof.
Oh, yeah. These games are Ubisoft Chengdu?
I'm not sure.
Chengdu.
Yeah, that sounds right.
All right. Ubisoft Chengdu's Project Raid. That's what it's called. I'm sorry. Project Raid, a 4-player co-op PvE game. Ubisoft Sophia's Project Nebula, based in India. The Aztec Empire and the Mediterranean. Wow, all 3 of them put together in one game?
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of weird, right?
And Ubisoft's Anasis, Project Echoes, a multiplayer game based on Ubisoft's Scalar cloud technology.
Yeah, they're building this weird tech. I don't know.
And last but not least, Assassin's Creed Project Nexus, a VR game set to be announced at E3 this year, apparently already has a sequel in development. So right off the bat, what I'm confused about is, are these the 4 games that already had code names from early? I think it was September or November.
Yeah, they did release a lot of them during the State of Play, or like
these are unannounced.
But these are on top of the ones that they announced, which was Codename Jade was the one in Japan, I think, or China.
Yeah,
no. Jade was I think Japan, where you play as the samurai. Right. Mm-hmm. Or the ninja, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
And then Infinity was the one, I believe, that they said was going to try. It was going to be like a live service type of game where
multiple time periods.
Yeah, it was always going to be changing. That. And then Codename Red, I believe, was the China one that was I don't know if it's mobile only. I think it was. And then
the way you said that China one, which is your little inner Trump came out right there. Dude.
Oh, I'm sorry. China
Trump came out right there. The China one.
And then
we're talking about China. Okay.
And then that Codename Hex, which is like they just announced it and said it's a multiplayer game, but that was all they said. They didn't announce it. So I'm wondering if that 4-player co-op game is really Hex, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. Sure, dude. Or it's like the follow-ups. I think, honestly, like that Project Nebula or whatever it is with Indie, Aztec Empire, and Mediterranean, it's probably the follow-up to Infinity, just like in like 4 years.
Yeah, I was going to say that sounds like what they were doing with Infinity, where they said like, you're going to be able to choose what assassin you want to play and what time period and stuff like that. So that has live action. I'm sorry, live service / free to play written all over it in my eyes.
That definitely has Suicide Squad from fucking Rocksteady vibes all over it right there.
Yeah,
for sure.
But
I'm not feeling about it. I don't know about that.
I will say, out of all these little ones, though, the one that I'm probably most intrigued about is the co-op PvE, because me and James, I remember back when we first got our PS4s, we were so hyped about Unity, and then we got let down from the co-op.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Just because when we played the co-op, it was just like so like
bad.
Yeah.
It's like you couldn't even co-op the full game. It was only certain missions. It was just like, it was so poorly executed.
And
so
like,
how was the gameplay though? How was the gameplay in it?
That was the thing, is the missions themselves felt like afterthoughts. Like it just threw you in a big area with guards everywhere, and that was it. There was no, you know, Unity had that. What was their big selling point? The black box mechanic. Remember where you can like get an overview of the assassin's target, and it's like, oh, do you want to go through the front door, or do you want to go through you want to make a distraction and then go through the window that's open? You know, like that was their Unity's big selling point.
God, such good mission structure in that one, actually. One single player, at least.
Well, yeah, and they didn't do any of that for multiplayer. It was just literally, here's like 50 guards. I guess you guys can try to kill them, and that was it. It's like trying to be sneaky and stuff, and it was just buggy, and it was just not fun at all. I think me and James played like one or two missions. We were like, yeah, this is whack.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
it was bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
no.
If maybe, hopefully, if they build a game from the ground up with that in mind, maybe, hopefully it'll execute, but.
Well, from what I've read from the people speculating on this, it actually is, Unity was the primary inspiration for that, because Unity parkour is apparently huge on Twitch. Like, a lot of people just like the animations, the way it runs. Unity has probably some of the best parkour of the entire series.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and people are, I guess, it had such a resurgence, and I think they're like, they want to give people that experience, but they want to also milk them. So, you know, you get them both.
Well, see, because it's like, if you think about it, you know, these new Assassin's Creed games, Valhalla, Origins, and Odyssey, they let you play how you want to play, right? You can go in and just destroy everything if you want, or you can be stealthy. Like, if they were to apply that to multiplayer, to where, let's say I have a full stealth guy and I like to sneak around. Mm-hmm. I mean, please, James, go make a distraction in the courtyard and just go fight all the guards, you know, and they all go to James, and then I can go sneak around the back and like assassinate the guy all willy-nilly and just, you know, quiet. Like, that's, I think, what people want from an Assassin's Creed multiplayer game.
Yeah.
Not just like, oh, you know what? Everyone has to play this way or else, you know.
Honestly, you're getting me going talking about that. Well, that sounds fucking fantastic. Dude, in the Odyssey engine, I would lose it. That is fantastic.
So I think it'd be cool if they do that. I just hope that they, you know, do something like that and not just shoehorn it. But that's pretty much it for that, right?
Yeah, I think they're figuring out the payment structure first, and then they'll figure the game around. That's essentially what we're going to get. So, yeah.
I can't wait for people to get hurt playing the VR game.
Oh, my God, dude.
People are going to be trying to, like, leap in parkour with a VR headset on. It's going to be great.
They jumped out the balcony. They jumped out the balcony.
And now his legs are broken.
Imagine they actually make it to where, to get to the high point, you have to climb on top of like a couch, or you have to be elevated.
Yeah, dude, people will get hurt.
That would be so good. That'd be so good.
That's fucking horrible. Okay, let's move on before we get to where we're playing the James's favorite game. James is like,
so for some very odd reason, even though I don't own an Xbox, I want to talk about Starfield.
Yeah.
So apparently a Starfield presentation is on the way. According to some sources, a major Starfield preview directly from Microsoft will be coming sometime very, very soon. The game notably missed Microsoft's most recent Direct and still has no release date post-delay. What are we feeling about this? I don't know. I'm not, even though I don't own an Xbox, doesn't look like a game that is a selling point if I were to own an Xbox.
I don't care.
Yeah, it's a tough one because it's Todd Howard, right? Right, friend? Mm-hmm. Mr. Release Skyrim on every fucking console imaginable. And he's trying to get people hyped over Starfield, and it's like, I mean, it looks cool, sure, but in all honesty, in my eyes, it looks like No Man's Sky, which...
Yeah, with the Bethesda elements in there.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that. I was going to be like, dude, like, I don't think anybody can make a game as good as No Man's Sky has become. And so to even try to like tackle that is just, I don't know. I just think it's going to be a misstep by Starfield for sure.
Well,
I think,
yeah.
Oh, go, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. First. Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say, I think that, you know, just the vibes that I got from that first trailer that they did, even with the gameplay, it's like, it looks like No Man's Sky with a gritty type of paint of coat on it, you know?
Yeah.
Because No Man's Sky is all like lush and vibrant and almost cel shaded in a way. Like, not, I'm not saying it is, but it has that very like vibrant art style. And Starfield has that like very down to, well, quote unquote, down to earth or realistic type of graphics, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be interesting to see if it comes out, it turns out that way where it's like pretty much No Man's Sky with just, gritty graphics, which,
well,
I don't
like their whole selling point is like you're going to be able to discover over 1,000 planets. I'm like, No Man's Sky already did that. No Man's Sky, when it came out, like I sadly traded it in because I wasn't patient and it was a really rough launch. But when you discovered a planet in No Man's Sky, you were able to name it and it would be that name for
forever,
life cycle of that game. So I came upon a planet that I named Planet Balls. You're welcome, everybody. So if you ever happen to run into Planet Balls in No Man's Sky, I am the creator. You're welcome.
Anyway, that's the OG Planet Balls, not Balls 227 or whatever the fuck I am.
Yeah, the old school Planet Balls is my design. That's my planet. Treat it well. Anyway, so yeah, like again, they're marketing it like it's some step above No Man's Sky, which has released so many updates for free and like has completely changed itself from like the game that I originally played to like when I see videos of it now, I'm like, damn, I kind of want to rebuy it because it looks so good.
It's on Game Pass right now. That's the selling point for me.
There you go. Yeah, I'm not gonna buy an Xbox for free.
Anyway, not for Starfield, but for No Man's Sky.
For No Man's Sky, I'll buy one, but not for Starfield. But yeah, so I mean, I don't know. I just don't. I like the Outer Wilds, and you know, No Man's Sky, I just feel like there's already those kind of space games. Not that like they have a monopoly on space games, but I just don't. I feel like who gives a shit?
They missed the boat. Honestly, like this thing's filled with red flags. Okay, they gave us a solidified launch date with that first trailer. Then they said, no, we're not actually doing that at all. And leading up to that, they showed nothing. And even now, no release date and no new footage. And it's been how long? I'm sorry. This is looking like a turd. Like, you get over 1,000 planets. There's gonna be some glitchy freaking planets.
Well, I mean, look what happened with the multiplayer Fallout. They were like promoting the shit out of it, and then it ended up being shitty.
Yeah. Even with the updates, I keep giving it a shot, man. It keeps hurting me.
It's free right now too for PlayStation Plus players, but I'm still like, man, whatever.
Nah, I'm with you on that. I'm honestly ready to move on from No Man's Sky. I feel like we painted such a good image of the gaming industry since we've been on Call of Duty. So let's talk a little more positive stuff about maybe what we've been playing. Just to cap this off,
What are you playing?
I'm only going to talk about one thing I've been playing. I've been playing a couple things. Obviously, Hogwarts Legacy. I revisited Minish Cap, which to me, just beautiful fucking Zelda game. That is amazing.
Cinema.
No, to me, just to go back to what I talked up top, dude. Metroid Prime Remaster. That's how you fucking do a remaster. That is absolutely how you do a remaster. Apparently, what they end up doing is the Retro has their own proprietary engine, and it's very compatible with, you know, it's the base is what made Metroid Prime anyways. So they slapped the old code into it and then touched everything up. This game looks like it's one of the best looking Switch games, and it's literally a GameCube game. Like, it's fucking awesome. I forgot they don't make games like this anymore. They just don't, man. Like, this does not hold your hand
I was gonna say, with no save, auto save every 5 seconds and all that stuff. And
no, you are struggling.
Good old fashioned, you got to get to a save room to save it,
dude. This is pre-Souls. This is a pre-Souls game, but it's very Souls-like in a lot of ways. I don't know how I fucking beat it back in the day. I was an impatient asshole. Like, honestly, no, this is
nostalgia
done right. Like, it's a great game.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I was saying too. I remember I was replaying it on the Wii, the motion version, I guess, the motion control one, right? The first. It wasn't even a remaster. It was just a collection that they did, right? Metroid Prime 1, 2, and 3 on the Wii. And I remember playing with the motion controls and being like, all right, this is cool. But then, like, as I'm like 10 hours into it, I'm like, God damn, my arm hurts. Like, man, I'm like, maybe I do want to play it with the GameCube controller. And then, like, I would try to play it and I'm like,
No.
yeah, it's not working.
Nah,
But
dude.
messing around with it at your apartment before we went to the Kings game, I was like, you know what? That this is like, yeah, you're right. I mean, it looks great, it plays great.
Dude, regular ass controls make a big difference. Just
Yeah,
regular fucking controls.
yeah, normal ass dual joystick controls felt amazing on it. And I'm like, man, I really, really want this now.
Dude, it's smooth. Honestly, it's probably one of my top gaming experiences like in a long, long time.
Well, I mean, that's what they did with Skyward Sword as well. They fixed the controls and now it plays way better.
Yeah, dude, fucking what, dude, we had all these masterpieces that like you had to kind of struggle to finish, unfortunately, because of that shit. But they're masterpieces. They're really good games. But yeah, to me, I recommend this to anybody. $40 is not a big asking price. Again, it looks good even on the TV. Like everything about it just is. It's how you do a remaster, and it honors the original really well. It makes it accessible to a whole new audience. So yeah, that, and of course, again, if you have the Nintendo expansion, please play Minish Cap. That is an underrated Zelda. So that's what I've been playing. How about you, James? We know we talked a bunch about Harry Potter, but what else did you got that more?
So I'm also playing Minish Cap because I just got the Switch expansion pass,
Yeah, we're a
and I've
family,
never
baby.
and that's
We're
one
a
of the
fucking
only Zelda
family.
games I've never played. So I'm playing that, but I'm also taking it back old school because I am a massive, massive fan of the Paper Mario series,
Oh
and I
yeah.
haven't played the original Paper Mario in I don't know how long, so that's also on there. So I'm stuck playing that. And then I'm also sprinkling in Call of Duty and then God of War Ragnarok, which I'm savoring. Like I ran through about half the game already, like within a week. So like I'm like shit, like
Dude.
I just don't want to like I don't want it to end. That's how good it is so far.
I love when a game does that. I love when a fucking game
But
does
then
that,
like
dude.
that's kind of where like I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place because that's how good Hogwarts is too. I'm like, damn it, like now I don't
Yeah.
know. But anyway, those are what I'm that's primarily I'm bouncing between all those. Like I pick and choose like an hour or two of each one, but I would say the top two that I'm playing right now are Hogwarts Legacy and Paper Mario. So yeah.
Yeah, Paper Mario's got a lot of personality. I don't know. It's a very good one to just pop in and pop out, for
As far
sure.
as turn-based RPGs, it's like for me, it's one of my favorites because I don't particularly like turn-based RPGs a whole lot, but I don't know. It's just the humor, the writing, and like it being Mario that it just works so well.
Having
It's
like a fucking weak ass Luigi that's always funny as hell. Like,
Yeah, it kind of reminds us of somebody else,
I don't know what you're talking about, dude. I don't know what you're talking about. What have you been playing? What have you been playing,
Someone else's weak
And
ass Luigi.
then also, if you're listening, Nintendo, please give us a Thousand Year Door remake
Dude,
or
give us the Metroid Prime
remaster.
remaster treatment for Thousand Year Door. I'm
Please do,
telling
because
you.
that's a fantastic game.
Oh, give it to us, dude. I would buy that. Give me this. I'll pay for $60. I don't give a shit. I'd do it.
So would I. So would
Yeah.
I. You heard it here, Nintendo. We'll pay full price for a fucking 20-year-old game.
We know you're listening. We know you're listening.
Pretty much. Well, not to sound like a broken record, but I too am also playing Minish Cap.
It's a great game.
Yeah,
It's a very,
I'm
very good
about
game.
8 hours into it. I remember the first time I played it. It was actually on friend let me borrow his Game Boy SP. And he's like, you've never played this Zelda game? He's like, no, here, play it. He gave it to me. I played it for like a week, and then I was like, oh yeah, I think I almost beat it in a week. But then I think I got to the Wind Temple or something, which is where I'm at now in it. And I just had to give it back to him. So, but I was like, it haunted me ever since then. So yeah, I'm playing that. Also, playing The Last of Us Part Two on the
Hell yeah.
PS5, which I never beat back when it came out in 2020, so I restarted it. And not to spoil anything, but there are feelings in that game. Let's just say
Yeah. I would
that.
say there's 10 times worse feelings than this the sequel than there are in the first one, which if you played the first one, you know.
Lots of
And
feelings.
I know everyone's on the show, the HBO show, which is great, and I don't want to step
Yeah, it's
on.
fantastic.
I don't want to step on toes and mix segments or anything, Flynn, but this game, if you've never played these games and you're watching the HBO show and you're a fan of it, do yourself a favor and do not look up spoilers for the story.
Oh, yeah,
If they stay true to the games, which is so far that's what they've been doing in the show, mm-hmm. The internet very well may explode at the end of season one, and then it's not ready for season two, for part two slash season two.
Yeah.
Because I myself, even going back and replaying, is like, just like, I'm texting James like every night when I'm playing it, like, why am I playing this game? Like, what is life right now? What
this the is fuck pain. Is going on? This yeah. is a painful experience.
Yeah, there's a huge, huge moment that we're not going to spoil, but it's coming.
mm-hmm. So yeah, I've been playing that on the PS5, and it, as a PS4 game, it looks absolutely amazing with that free upgrade that they did to it. And then lastly, me and my son have been playing Lightfall Destiny 2, just because I got sucked back in September. But you know,
poor soul.
It's funny though. It's funny that when Destiny 2 first launched, I believe back in 2017, or you know, me, James, and our other friends were playing it. And I remember when we started, the hype was good for like a month, and then after we were like, okay, what do we do now? You know, it was like that. Yeah. It was like the South Park.
Yeah,
yeah.
Their end game is fucking terrible, or it was terrible. I'm sure it's better now. I'm sure they figured it out. But like in the beginning, they even with the first one, like the end game gear, it just took forever. Like going in raids and getting gear that was obsolete. I'm not gonna get into it. But what I'm saying we were hyped for like a month or two, and then it died horribly. That's what I'll say.
So what you're saying is it's on its No Man's Sky arc right now. It's the arc is happening.
Well, Destiny 2 actually has had a huge resurgence with, I believe it was one of the DLCs. I want to say it was the Witch Queen one. But what's funny, what I was going to say is that back, 5-6 years ago, you know, my son was, Nate was watching me play it, and he didn't understand the grasp of it, right, of it at that time, right, because he was little. And now here he is 6 years later making builds and like carrying me through stuff in that game.
God, dude, when they...
So it's like that's what, you know, me and him, we got into it because they went free to play and all that stuff. And he's like, hey, Dad, can we play together? And we did. And then, you know, a couple strikes and a couple sessions later, I'm just like, God damn it, the grind has me again. And, you know, he's over there looking up strategies for his builds and trying different things. So it's like, you know, it's. Yeah, it's a old game, but what they're doing with it, I mean, I'm actually, you know, seeing it grow from that first iteration to what it is now is like, it's night and day, you know, kind of like No Man's Sky, like we were talking about a little bit earlier. But yeah, that's pretty much what I've been playing.
Man, I just again, that's a we've said a lot of positive things here, but I want to tell developers, just release completed games. Just release games that are 100%. Sometimes, you know, it's nice. Harry Potter did it. You can do it. Yeah. It's okay.
Or, you know, a tip of the hat to the developers at Sea that, you know what, like, that's not our best, let's go back to the drawing board, and they do, and they fix it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and they don't just wait to charge you for a sequel, they'll actually go back and fix their game that you paid for, you know. So that was it.
All right, well, we're almost out here. We got two more segments here. I'm going to combine them, actually. I'm going to say my one win, my gaming win of the month. I'm going to follow it up with my gaming fail of the month. All so right, for me, man. The winner, not actually a game, but it is pretty important. It's Super Nintendo World. I was there for opening day. I got to see Shigeru Miyamoto, got to shake Doug Bowser's hand and take a picture with him.
Oh my God.
Got on the news. They were filming a couple. I was in the background trying to eat my fucking dessert. it was a very special time. Super Nintendo World is, if you get a chance to go, and there aren't an insane amount of crowds, it's honestly fantastic. It was very nostalgic. It's a really well-built park. You got to pay spring the $40 for the fucking watches, but it really does gamify the whole experience, actually, which is really, really cool how they do it. There is one game that they do in there, you have to time when you're hitting the one-up block or whatever it is, with a shell, and there's a whole crowd that sees you do it. So, and there's a long line to do it. I can see the whole art crew, the bros, just shitting on everybody trying to nail that timing, because you only get 3 shots to do it. And if you wait too long, it gives you the Nintendo like it pressures you. So it's a funny little situation they set up for you right there. And then my biggest fail would just be the crowds for that and Pokemon Direct. No more to say. Two horrible things you have to deal with. That Pokemon Direct was crap. And there's a lot of people still going when there's nobody there. How about you? How about you, James? Win and the fail here.
Well, I have kind of a win fail first, and then I'll do my full fail. But the win is that GoldenEye is finally back on consoles, which is great. The fail of that is that it's horribly confusing to get going with multiplayer. We tried and we failed, and we had to look up how to do it, which isn't a good indication of a game. But just playing it, just being able to play it on the Switch, I was filled with so much nostalgia.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
I switched the controls up, and I was so happy, and I burned through like the first three missions, and I was like, oh my god, like it just took me back. Because I spent countless hours playing GoldenEye, and it's great. But again, the multiplayer, it fucking sucks. So that's my win fail. But my actual fail is Breath of the Wild 2 is going to be $70.
Ugh, that and one hurts.
That sucks because Nintendo said that their first party games wouldn't be going up in price. And they are. And it also is really shitty because we're still playing on an older console and they're costing $70, which is not great because that's what PS5 and Xbox are charging for their current gen games, $70, which makes sense because they can handle, you know, higher graphic elements and everything. But so, yeah, that's a super fail. I don't understand why we're being charged the extra money when we're not getting a better Switch, but maybe our rumor is going to be true. And in that case, good luck having another $500 to spend on a new console and Breath of the Wild 2 at $70. So
yeah, that's exactly, you're outlining like worst case scenario. That's also the most likely scenario. That kind of sucks.
What the hell, Nintendo?
Not to harp on it, but just to say that I remember their justification, Sony and Microsoft's for the $70 was saying, well, it's taking, it takes a lot more manpower to get these games up and running nowadays, right? Mm-hmm. And I've seen people defending Nintendo's $70 and saying, well, you know how long they've been making that game? That doesn't matter. Like, why does that matter compared to...
That's every Zelda game. That's every Zelda game.
Exactly.
They all take forever. I don't know what they're talking about.
So that was just my thing about that. That was funny. Mm-hmm. But to wrap this up with the win and fail of the month for me, I'll give Nintendo the props for their Nintendo Direct. That was very good. Like we talked about earlier, started a little slow, but when you shadow drop, or is that what it's called?
Yeah, shadow drop.
Yeah, shadow drop, right? Yeah, when you shadow drop a game as big as Metroid Prime that day, and you keep it a secret up until that day.
I mean, it's huge.
Yeah, props to Nintendo for that. And then, of course, Breath of the Wild 2, the gameplay looked amazing. So that's the win. And for the fail, Nintendo can win and they can fail in a month because, and I don't want to get too deep into it, but they are actually closing down all of the Wii U and 3DS shops, I believe in March, to where you cannot buy any more games on there, which, you know, it's just going to lead people to pirate things. And I know Nintendo's all like anti-piracy, copyright, all that stuff. But like, you're literally telling people like, you know what, we're going to take these shops offline, probably because of, you know, cost reasons, which I get. But at the same time, you're saying, yeah, we're going to take these offline. But good luck getting those games, you know, buy them now and then you can re-download them. But who knows for how long you're going to be able to
exactly how long those servers going to be up. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm pretty disappointed in that. And there's a whole bunch of people that are in that boat as well, talking about how they're going to start emulating and homebrewing their consoles so that they can have those games to keep forever just because Nintendo's taking them offline. And then also a fail to the Metroid Prime scalpers because newsflash, it's not a limited run. They never said it was a limited run. And you can buy the game digitally. So if you're one of those people that just wants a physical box or a cartridge, I guess. I mean, don't pay over MSRP for that, please.
Yeah, just wait.
Yeah, like just wait and please don't give into the scalpers because I love going on Reddit and seeing people with these $800 graphics cards that they're trying to sell for double at the price. And then when the market crashes for said product, like graphics cards or Metroid Prime, they're left with a whole closet full of these and they can't sell them. So, oh, good. Yeah. I was
just
gonna say, there's whole subreddits dedicated to that. Of laughing at those people. So
link them to me after this. Link them to me after this.
Yes. Don't give in to the scalpers, people. Just buy it digitally. And if you need a box, video game, you know, just go buy one off eBay. It's not that big of a deal.
Yep. All right. I'm with it. And then we're going to wrap up here with our absurd headline of the week. So we're going to try to do this bi-weekly, of course. But there was one that really stuck out to me. Miyamoto says he wants to work for Nintendo in the afterlife. When asked which world he created he'd like to live in after he passes, Miyamoto simply just said, "I really love the work environment that I'm in because I get to engage in so many different things. So it'd be great if, you know, I could be in an environment where I can change the kind of work I do all the time. So I think maybe it might just be at my desk or my bathtub." That's a Miyamoto-ass fucking response right there.
And I guarantee you, he said that with the biggest grin on his face.
Yeah. Look at him, fucking company man in his heart.
I'm actually, reading that headline of the week, though. I see like Miyamoto and I say Nintendo.
So let's not acknowledge the typos right now, right? We're almost out.
But that's right, another, guys, yeah, another story for it. Another time.
Yep. That's it. First episode in. We did it. All right.
Round of applause.
Well, thank you guys. Thanks for showing up. We are the NPC podcast. You can find us on Instagram at npc.gaming.pod. We are part of course, the Horrible People's Network. That is Horrorable People's Network. It's a little different when Alex isn't saying it. So, okay, this is a little bit of an adaptation. This is episode one. We're going to try to update you guys bi-weekly, of course. So if you know, want to hear the latest and sometimes greatest, sometimes the most weirdest when it comes to gaming news, just tune in, follow us, and then we'll send the updates when they are available. So
we're gonna get real weird with it.
We're gonna very, very weird, very, very weird. So that's it. And before we go, maybe again, developers, release finished games.
Yep. And fuck
and,
the scalpers.
Nintendo, give us a 1,000-year door remake. Thank you.
Yeah. I like the way you're talking. That's good. All right.
Yep.
See you guys.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Later.